Welcome to Raised in the Woods. I'm Joel Clayfish. I get to have an awesome time with you on the radio, on the podcasts, alongside Chef Ellie Lawton, the co-host of this show, the co-hostess with the mostest recipes of anybody I know.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you are a chef after all.
We all hold a smartphone, so technically we all have all of them.
That is how it goes now. We've got an all-star cast today from the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. Executive Director Brad Heidel is here. Mike, the meat man Kretschmer from Nye's Meats up here in Wisconsin. And of course, we've got Megan Salazar, who is not only a sommelier, but quite an experienced hunter.
And a volunteer for the WWA.
She does.
She is.
It is quite the incestuous group here. I get to work with the
what?
Well, I mean metaphorically.
Well, we are up north.
Metaphorically.
Oh, boy.
Where's the banjo? Cue the banjo.
Okay. No Arkansas jokes. Come on.
Whoa.
I thought it was Alabama, so I don't know.
I thought it was Ellie's favorite state of West Virginia.
Don't
come down to my West Virginia folks.
All right, everybody. We love the
Midwest.
Let's bring it back in. We don't want to have
I've
to
got
start,
a hog getting taxidermied
over
in West Virginia right now.
Oh,
they're good people.
West Virginia, the East Coast has got its awesome people too. I love the South. I love Florida.
I love it
hog
all.
Hunting and gator hunting, you name it. I love the Midwest.
But back
there
to this
is
special
no
group.
Better. Well, I'm saying we've all hunted together. We've all been in different states hunting together. We've fished together. Mike Kretschmer was one of the first people to ever take me on a waterfowl hunt in my life, which we had.
Look
a
at
blast
you now.
In.
Yes.
The diapers are off, and he's killed more animals in a year than I have in my life.
The diaper came off, and I think it's going back on.
We keep down this road. Hey. I'm going to need a diaper on.
You know I got to give you some grief when I'm on the show.
I'd expect nothing less,
If
Mike.
You had diapers, you wouldn't have to waste your socks sometimes.
Unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh. Are we going to really go
in the hunting blinds, we've all discussed about where certain articles of clothing are in the world due to certain situations.
I have underpants buried in 5 different states and I think a couple foreign countries.
There you go.
I think that's called, what's the...
That's called lack of preparation.
I think that's called TMI.
So it's called lack of preparation.
I mean, rule number one for me is always to have the TP in the bag.
Well,
or the boat.
When nature calls,
that's
Mike.
Fair. Oh, yeah.
When we're in nature, nature calls.
That's what's the call?
gurgling stomach.
Gotta go.
We're
off the rails already.
When the hair, Megan. When the hair on your arm is
standing up. Mike's call sounds like Dave's call when he's off into the woods and we need to know where he is and he shoots something and he calls to us.
Oh,
yeah, caw-caw. That was so funny.
Man.
I wish Dave was here so he could do his call.
Well, Megan's
he's
lover Dave is predisposed in Texas.
Shout out
moment.
To Megan's lover Dave.
She can't.
Formerly known as Tad.
He's still known as Tad.
Oh, what is that?
That's
got to
be
for?
An inside joke.
It talks a lot, Dave. That's what it stands for.
She says it with a straight face,
however,
too.
However, the other day we went to a friend's house and his wife talks a lot and she talks more than Dave. And Dave was like, whoa. She talks a lot. And I was like, now you know how everyone else feels.
Oh, man. Well, if you're just joining us, welcome to Raised in the Woods.
We've
show
covered a lot.
About the outdoors that goes off the rails quite frequently. My name is Joel Clayfish. I love making my life in the outdoors of the Midwest. I have the honest to God blessing to be able to have not only as part of my career and livelihood, but my biggest love, spending time in the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and eating what we harvest. We've got co-hosting this show is Chef Lawton, who is not only a French culinary certified French chef, but also someone who likes spending time in the outdoors and bringing that harvest to the table in a way that we love to share with you how to do it in a simple way, but to make some really fantastic creations. I think very often people get far too caught up in, I have a piece of wild game, it's got to go butter and onions to the table. And I think that gets boring. And I think some people just don't like that.
Yeah, but I think people lose interest, you know? They get scared of wild game because it's usually leaner cuts of meat. And you kind of have to get spicy and add some seasoning to it, or prepare it, or marinate it, or tenderize it. These are simple things, though. And it can really make a big difference, you know, from the butter and onions, which is a classic and great way to have a piece of wild game. But people get scared. And
yeah, but I think once people start, you build confidence in it. And
absolutely.
It's almost a whole nother hobby.
Yeah. Like, I've seen people go and make one or two dishes outside of what they were normally making and just nail them. And then they're addicted to it. And that's how I am. It's like, okay, I've conquered that. Now I need to find something else. And then I keep building from there. And it's so much fun. I mean, at the end of the day, become a little scientist in your kitchen. It's a lot of fun.
I just think, don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Right.
That's, I mean, you can make something, and if it doesn't turn out great, you've learned from it. And you, so the next time you're making something, you make it a little bit of a different way. But I also think people don't think of wild game as Chinese food. Or Mexican food.
They don't.
I make more Asian and like ethnic dishes out of my wild game than anything.
So do I. Because the sauces and the marinades and those really heavy, bold flavors. And also fresh, like the freshness that you can put in these dishes. Like fresh herbs and fresh fruits and vegetables. Gosh, they're so good.
And I would have to say that probably you had said people make mistakes. I say the biggest mistake most people make is overcooking it.
Right.
The second biggest mistake is how do they handle their meat?
Yeah.
Prior to even cooking it.
Correct.
Like when they're harvesting it and how do they clean it and everything. So,
yeah.
Well, that is, I mean, I think we've stumbled onto a really fun topic because this, you can do things simply and easily, but still not boring. Mm-hmm. And that's a sticky wicket, and it's tricky for people who don't have the confidence out of the gate. And if there's one thing I do want you to have listening to the show is to understand what a bunch of mess ups we are, and we still end up with fairly decent stuff.
My daughter just recently, I brought some Wagyu home and made tacos out of beef.
Wagyu beef.
And my daughter goes, I want the meat out of the freezer in the basement. I like it a lot better. I was like, you just had $22 a pound ground beef and you would take venison over that when making tacos or whatever.
I would too,
but
though.
When you are used to it, I mean, you get that flavor. And some people, when they start eating wild game for the first time, oh gosh, it's gamey or it has that different flavor to it. But you eat it a few times and you turn it into one of your favorite Asian dishes or your favorite Italian dishes. You get so used to that. So when you go back to like a store-bought beef or beef in general or something like that, you taste that. And now you're like, Joel, you say this. You're like, ooh, that beef is gamey.
Beef tastes funny to me now. When I buy beef from the store, I still like it, but it tastes different to me. It tastes funny to me now.
Beef tenderloin, I've said that forever. I'm like, I'm eating backstrap, and my wife will pick that over. I'm a ribeye guy all day, and I'm like, from eating that, I'll just stay home and eat backstrap.
Yeah,
I do prefer that myself.
And you can literally make any food that you make with normal store-bought meat with wild game.
Absolutely, Brad.
We make a ton of, like, we've been talking a lot about some different Asian foods. We make a ton of wontons out of duck and goose and egg rolls out of goose, and it's absolutely delicious.
I tell people that are new to cooking with wild game, start with your favorite dishes. If stir-fry is your favorite, make stir fry with that wild game.
Ooh,
right?
That's a great
suggestion. If pizza's your favorite, make pizza with a shredded wild game on it. You know, like make your favorite dishes with those proteins swapped out and start from there, because then you're at least comfortable making those dishes because you've already made them, like spaghetti and meatballs or something like that. But you're getting used to working with the wild game.
So there's a guy in Florida, Bucks Pizza. I met him actually in the international pizza show in Vegas. It's kind of cool to run into him and talk to him. But
whoa, sorry, you're name dropping there with the fancy places you go.
But I ran into him, but he did an iguana and venison pizza in South Florida when all the iguanas were falling out of the trees.
They still are.
I've eaten iguana. It's absolutely delicious.
That's what I've heard.
It tastes like crab meat. It's phenomenal.
I saw him on TikTok.
We need to get to our wild of the week.
Yeah, we're going to get to the wild of the week. I want to.
We can talk about food all day.
I want to cap this off, though, and we may come back to it because this is a great topic. I have to confess, for quite a while, when I early on didn't know what to do with meat, I would take a hamburger helper and just put my wild game in the hamburger helper. And that was the very first step I took into the wild game cooking arena, you know, more than a decade ago. But I will tell you, even doing that shows you that wild game can be a fantastic, you know, meal. Regardless, you don't have to buy the meat in cellophane at the store in order to make it delicious. Because I'm telling you, hamburger helper is really good.
I like confession.
Didn't we talk about this, like creating our own company, like bagged, tagged, and bagged, and making like marinades and stuff.
Yes, yes, we
for
did.
Wild game.
We should do that.
You guys,
that's
I've never
idea.
Had hamburger helper.
Me either.
Really?
And I've never had. You guys are. Oh, actually, I've never had ramen noodles like packet.
I can't.
Oh.
They remind me of frogs.
That's yeah, and you hate frogs.
I hate frogs.
Oh, that's we're gonna.
It's a very bad childhood.
That's
memory.
Gonna come up in another part of the show, so we'll
I know.
Be back to that.
Yes. Well, I think we should get into our wild of the week. Mine is frog watching. No. No. my wild of the week is. Being outside in the tumultuous Wisconsin weather. We had one
She's
day
angry.
And it was 20 degrees and the next day 70 degrees.
But with 50 mile an hour winds.
And back and forth. And the only thing I can say I love about it is because I love spring and fall clothing the best of the whole year. So my wild of the week was trying to figure out what the ever-loving hell I was going to wear to be comfortable in whatever that weather took the turn of the day. Mike, what do you got?
Mine is going food.
Ooh.
I'm not doing the recipe this week. Somebody else can do a recipe.
Well, you just signed yourself
up. No,
so you're
I'm
welcome.
Doing it right now.
We're
so
doing
wild turkey breast, fillet it out really thin.
Did you do this already this week?
Yes, I did.
Right.
I did this already. And then, so you kind of like make a roll with it, and then I put a cranberry and apple stuffing in the middle, rolled
yes.
it back up, took the skin from the turkey. Wrapped it up over it, and then I smoked it at 225, and it turned out awesome.
Well, dang, Mike. Ooh, how come we're not
that's
eating that?
Next time.
That's okay. a great wild of the week.
Wow.
Megan, what do you got?
I went shed hunting at our lease in Minnesota, in Rushford,
Ooh.
Minnesota.
How'd you do?
We didn't find any, but the thing that was really good, aside from me losing, the bad thing, I lost my Ray-Bans. So sad.
Ooh. Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
They're in the woods.
You're kind of famous for leaving sunglasses places.
Yeah, well, I had to buy a new pair. So... we did not find any sheds. We did pick up all the cameras, but we saw a lot of woodcock, and that makes me very happy.
Oh, wonderful.
Something I've never set out to hunt, but I would like to do that.
You
at
hardly
some point.
Ever see them, but we flushed 25 in about
wow.
2.5 hours, so I like
Holy
to see
cow.
That migrating bird come back.
Goodness.
Oh, that is awesome. Brad, your wild of the week?
Quite simple for me. Wild of the week is going to be I had my turkey hunting season and bagged a beautiful tom opening day.
Ooh. Oh, that is absolutely
Love
awesome.
That.
Chef Lawton?
I got my first tick of the season.
Oh, that's a horrible wild of the week.
Whoa, God, sorry about that.
Well,
it
having
is.
Had
it's
Lyme
a,
disease,
it's
that's...
It's actually a friendly message, public service announcement. The ticks are...
They're out.
Watch out for
out.
Them in the Midwest. They're out already. Well. We got an awesome show. We're going to talk about turkey hunting, what to do with your turkeys, your favorite turkey recipes, how spring is going to bring the best fishing we've ever seen with Mike, the meat man, the expert on angling as well. You're listening to Raised in the Woods. Raised in the Woods is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great states of Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa, soon to be more states as we continue to expand. My name's Joel Clayfish, the host of this show, along with co-host Ellie Lawton. We've got an awesome panel of folks along with us this week. Mike the Meatman Kretschmer from Nye's Meats, Brad Heidel, the executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, and our frequent flyer contributor Megan Salazar, who happens to be a sommelier, and we're going to start talking about using wines and recipes. That's something I came up with over the break, and I'm excited about what? Talking about.
News to me.
It's news to Megan. But we like to we like to wing it on the show, don't we?
Yeah,
do. It's all right. Look, everybody who's an outdoors person who loves to hunt, loves to fish, loves the fall in the Midwest. There's no doubt about it. But if there's any season that brings about renewal of the spirit, it is the springtime. The sap is running. People are making maple syrup. The turkeys are strutting. The waters are rushing. What an awesome time to be in the Midwest.
You're like Little House on the Prairie right now.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. You just...
I was going to say the ticks are out.
Well, gee, Paul. Yeah.
Honestly, though, like nothing is as bad as the freaking ever-loving tick hell of Scotland that I experienced.
Oh boy.
Yes, if you do go to Scotland, make sure to invest in the tick-free clothing.
I mean, I don't even know if it matters.
I'm not sure.
Megan was with me. She saw the whole meltdown. It was hours.
Yes.
I think by the end of the day, I picked like 127 ticks off of me.
Wow.
And I will never return to Scotland because of it.
At least not in...
I got Lyme disease in Scotland.
Yeah, you sure? You really brought the big one back. I did not.
I dealt with that Lyme disease for 2 months.
Yeah, and that's terrible.
A miserable. So let that be a warning to you. Make sure that if you go out in the woods right now, the ticks are out. So make sure you watch for them and check yourself over after.
And I want to add, because I didn't really know this actually until we went to Scotland, there's actually really good tick repellent pants that all the guides actually wear out in Scotland. And you can order them online and they're not supposed to be super bad for you or like soaked in chemicals.
I was
going to
say, while you're looking for ticks, you can be looking for morels too, because those are popping any day pretty quick here.
Yeah. Yeah, but make sure you have all your stuff with you.
Sheds.
To keep the ticks off of you.
I do have some of those tick repellent pants and a shirt as well, and they work extremely well. The shirt is really, really long. Mm-hmm. It tucks into the pants, and then there's actually two cuffs in the pants.
Okay.
So you tuck one cuff in your boot, and the other one goes over the top.
How
and
there's nifty.
There's no way for the ticks to get in.
Yeah, you know, I need to just buy that.
They'll find a way.
They
will find a way.
You know what? I'm going hazmat suit. All of hunting season, all summer.
That's
you
what
see
I'm
me outside, I'm rocking the hazmat.
Do they make hazmat suits in camo?
In my size. What are you going to say?
No. Bright yellow. Yeah. Well, I'm not turkey hunting with you.
You know, they say nobody trusts a skinny chef. So
yeah. So what are you saying? So what exactly are you saying?
I'm not going there.
Either you don't trust me or I'm fat. You choose. Which one is it going to be?
I'm going with I don't trust you.
Oh, boy.
I'm taking the high road.
Wow, I'm super offended,
Mike,
Brad.
Could you hand me a shovel?
I'd rather you call me fat.
Could you hand me a shovel? I'm just going to keep digging.
Hey, how's the air down in that hole?
Oh, my God. It's just so horrible. Well, all I can say is people like me in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. That's all.
Which
I
glass
really
house,
know.
The trust or the fat?
Either one. I really messed that one up. Oh my gosh.
Back on track.
But we're all going to be in the outdoors anyway, because it's the spring and it's turkey hunting season. And I want to get into some of the best, you know, gear for that and how to make your turkey hunt successful.
I want to hear about Brad's hunt.
Brad.
Oh, sorry to steal
how
that
did
from you.
No. thank you. Brad, you got it done like in... Toot sweet.
You know, I
say.
Did get it done that quick. But you know what I'd rather really talk about is a mentor hunt I took 2 weeks before that.
Yeah, I want to hear about that too, Brad.
Yeah.
That's something
don't hold back.
So we took a gal out from DSG Outerwear who makes wonderful gear for women in the outdoors.
Yes.
And she had never hunted before. And we were together doing some work stuff. And I said, would you like to go? She's like, what do you mean? I said, do you want to go turkey hunting? She goes, no one's ever asked me before. She says she comes from a hunting family. No one from her family has asked her before. So we took her out for a mentor hunt. And there's really great opportunities to put mentor hunts together where we actually take them out. We take them to the range. We show them how to shoot. We answer questions for them. We show them how to clean the bird, etc. We do everything. And then we were out for the first morning. And literally, we had 20 toms gobbling around us. It was phenomenal.
And that's the greatest sound in the world.
Isn't it, though?
Yes.
And we had two toms come strutting into our decoy.
Oh, perfect.
At 7:30 in the morning. And actually, when I say decoy, I had the whole flock out for her. I had seven decoys out for this gal. We were going to get something coming in.
He was in it to win it.
Yes.
I was in it to win it. Go big or go home. And we had two beautiful toms come in, and she got her first bird on the first morning out.
Oh,
and it was so
wonderful.
Exciting.
That
is awesome. Did she do, I always think, whenever I take a new hunter, and I that's my favorite thing, when they shoot and they're successful and they kill that bird, the first thing they do, instead of celebrating or jumping up and down or cheering, they look at you.
And smile.
They look at you like, did I really do that?
And then they ask, when can I go again?
Yeah, yeah, no right. kidding. And then you have to block their number.
And you have to block them from stopping. Oh, my gosh. This is such a great show. We're going to talk about what to do with that bird. We're going to talk a little bit about setups and gear, too. And fishing is upon us in full swing. The opening of game fishing across the Midwest, too. We love having you along. Make sure you stay tuned. And if you don't catch us live on Saturdays at 11, you can check out Raised in the Woods on civicmedia.com, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. This is Raised in the Woods. Hey, if you're not listening to Raised in the Woods, you're missing out on how to make food from the outdoors on your table, how to get out there and experience it. If you're a brand new outdoors person, if you've never hunted before, if you've never fished before, if you've never foraged, kayaked, camped, climbed a mountain, this is the show to listen to because half those things I haven't done either.
What?
I'm just playing.
I'm pretty sure you've
never
done all of them.
Climbed.
Well, you have to climb the mountain every time you dig yourself into a hole.
That's a fact. My name's Joel Clayfish. This show is Raised in the Woods. This is a show about the Midwest of the United States and all of the wonderful things we have to do when we step foot out of our domiciles into the beautiful outdoors. Chef Ellie Lawton is the co-host of this show. She is a culinarian, but for the purposes of this show, she talks quite a bit about wild game, how to prepare it, how to not be afraid of it, how to not be afraid of trying something new in your kitchen. And Chef Lawton, I think that you are one of those people who really gets out there and gives her hell when it comes to the outdoors.
I try to. I really like being outside.
Yeah, well,
there's not a lot of people out there.
Yes.
There's fewer people outside. Yeah, per square foot, I'm sure that's true.
Before we move on in this segment, I have some questions for Brad to put him on the spot about this mentored hunt.
Oh.
Because we may have some listeners that might be interested in turkey hunting. So do you do a lot of mentored hunts? And if so, like, would people reach out to you? Do you do that through WWA? Or was that just kind of a off one-off?
You know, this was a personal one that I do with the National Wild Turkey Federation.
Oh, wonderful.
So I work with them as part of this. But I can also tell you that all the states that are listening to us right now have opportunities to do mentored hunts in their states. And I would encourage those people who are looking to get into hunting and just don't know where to start,
mm-hmm.
get in touch with your local department, with your wildlife department, and they will be happy to point you in the right direction. And what I can also tell you is, if you're interested in becoming a mentor, it probably did more for me as a mentor than the actual person I was mentoring or mm-hmm. mentee,
yeah,
if you want to call it
yeah.
that.
I would
yes.
100% Certainly. Agree with that. I've done it numerous years up in Horicon in the marsh,
mm-hmm.
and I have more fun taking these kids or adults, can be either one depending on the program.
Yeah.
Into some, actually, it's protected areas even that they
yes.
allow some of these hunts to happen. And it's some of the best memories I have of taking people out that are.
And yeah. Megan can talk a lot about that as well.
Yeah, Megan and I have both done mentored women's hunts. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's
I
very
look forward
fulfilling.
To those weekends more than, like, I'm not a morning person at all. I hate it. But if I'm getting up to mentor someone, I'm like up and at them.
Yeah.
You have to drag me out of bed to go hunting in the morning sometimes. It's just me.
There is nothing. I think there's an evolution of a hunter. I think when you first start hunting, you kind of want to get out there and you kill stuff. You want to have the experience of killing stuff and being successful. But the evolution of a hunter, as far as I was concerned as well, I get much more joy out of taking somebody and seeing them get their first harvest, or even spending the time in the woods with them or in a field with them. Giving them that experience is more satisfying to me. And the cool thing about the mentored hunt in Wisconsin and the youth hunt is you can get somebody who can even get a leftover tag, but you can still take them out before all the regular hunters are hitting the fields and using all of, you know, hitting all the good spots. You can take them previous to the season.
It's bonus time.
It's bonus time. That's a great way of putting it, and it's really fantastic to be able to take people and know those fields aren't going to be swamped or you're not going to have to be fighting other people, because our season structure in Wisconsin is different than a lot of other states. We assign weeks, but even when you get those weeks, very often you're running into people and you end up having to go to a second or third spot, and as a new hunter, that can be extremely intimidating.
And frustrating. Frustrating.
Yeah. And frustrating, right. I mean, it's frustrating to an experienced hunter, right? But these mentored hunts, they really are a way to kind of get out there and show somebody the reins. And when you have a mentored hunt, you're going before the season starts, right? So very often, a lot of those turkeys are still grouped up, and you'll get two or three or four toms to come into your decoys at some point. And
I wish I could be a mentee for every turkey season.
Yeah, right. No kidding. But you get a show with lots of turkeys because they're all still together. You're not having to usually be as patient or as adept at the hunt. Those birds aren't decoy shy by then. They've had no pressure. They've been, you know, they're not thinking about being hunted. Whereas you hunt, you know, season three, four, six. Five, six, you're dealing with turkeys that have seen some decoys. They've heard some calling. But this is just a real great time to get people.
And they get
woods.
Beat up from each other. So they're a lot more hesitant to come into the spread or, you know.
There's no better time for someone who is thinking about getting involved in hunting or starting hunting than spring turkey. I think that is honestly the best place to start, is do a mentored turkey hunt.
I mean, you will
have a great show, if anything, even if you never pull the trigger. Because obviously a mentored hunt, you know, that's the whole point. There's no pressure. You go out there with someone who is experienced. You get to watch nature wake up. It's just so wonderful.
Hey, I want to detail. I want to hear from everybody on this panel. What's your go-to setup early in the season for decoys? Mike,
I'll
what
start.
Do you got?
Half-strut Jake and a hen, a lay-down hen.
Oh, a lay down.
So she's laying there.
Right.
The Jake, like three.
A breeder.
Yep. So if, for the listeners, it's like literally the turkey cut in half, the hen, and it's laid on the ground. So she's in the ready position. And then the Jake is half strut, like 2 to 3 feet on an angle behind her. So I kind of get the, instead of straight heads going the same direction, I put the Jake.
So you're trying to make the toms mad. Yes. Why is that guy with my lady?
Yes. Right. And it works, you know, I love it in late season even, because it's one on, I've had 3-4 toms coming in on the one Jake, and it puts on a show.
Yeah, that is a great, that's a great setup. Brad, what did you run?
You know, when I took Liz out a couple of weeks ago, we had 7 decoys out, so I had the whole flock.
I've
I threw
never
it,
turkey
wow.
hunted
everything
with
at
that
them.
Many decoys. Wow. That sounds awesome.
I have, but it's a lot to carry.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Well, I drove the truck out there the day before and threw everything in the blind. So we had a full
strutter.
Brad,
please be my mentor.
Yes, absolutely. we had a full strutter, a half strutter, and a laydown. And 4 hens.
So you were cognizant of the fact that they haven't broken up yet. You were going for that group mentality, and you wanted those toms to feel like, that's my group. I got to go over by them.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. When I run early season, I have two. If I have a long walk, I'm taking 3 decoys, and I'm going to have quarter strut Jake, and I've made a Jake fan out from a real Jake, and I will put that. I put it on like a political yard sign hanger, and I'll put it at a at an angle behind the Jake, like it's a Jake fan that can't quite get his fan up all the way. Mm-hmm. He's young. He really is going to tick off the toms.
And I've seen that decoy.
Yes, you have. You've seen it work. Too.
Yes, I think I've shot that decoy. You've seen it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chef Lawton, if you can make that decoy taste good, you are a good chef. I've had, and that's, I run in front of that, a full upright dominant hen, and then I run a feeder hen as well. And the reason I run that dominant hen is because early on, oftentimes you will still, in those groups of hens, you'll get the dominant hen who will be very angry that there's another dominant mm-hmm. hen. She'll come over, and if those birds are henned up, if they're following a hen around and they're not interested in fighting because they got their lady, if their lady brings them over close enough, then you can get that kill. So it's kind of like a two, I think it's a two-pronged approach. And then as time goes on, I'll take away that fan.
It's kind of like when my wife wants to go to the bar. I'm going to go with her.
Yeah, that's right. That's
usually,
right.
I want to go to the bar, and she doesn't, you know, that kind of mentality. You never know.
But I have a theory.
She's going, I'm going.
Hey, you're the quarter strut Jake. We know.
Yeah. Oh. I have a theory about that. I think that hunting turkeys is very much like the social dynamic of a bar. You got the guys who are from the bar. They go to the bar quite a bit. They walk in and they see someone else talking to one of their ladies. And at the beginning, they're like, you know, hey, what's that guy doing talking to our that woman we know over there? And then one of the other guys says, oh, just have a drink, don't worry about it. But as time goes on, they get more and more frustrated and they can't help but going over to it. And that's what happens in the turkey field very often.
And then they start pushing each other with their chest, and you're looking at a blind like, what a bunch of high schoolers, come on, get it together, boys. That's a decoy you're pushing against right now. But it's so fun to watch. It is literally like a great movie.
Boom.
Then you're like, okay, one of these dum-dums have to go.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh,
and
man.
Then you have a really good dinner.
Yeah.
Megan, or what laugh. Do you like for a setup in turkey in the springtime?
Honestly, this is only my second year turkey hunting, so I still have no idea what I'm doing.
Oh, well, you've done, you and I went on a hunt.
That
you
was
seemed
my,
to do
like,
just perfectly
first...
there. Well, I consider that a great honor then. Well, see, that's why the show is so great. We have, every one of us has a different range of experience. And having Megan along on that hunt and watching her kill her first turkey, that was really exciting.
It was a perfect shot.
It was a perfect shot.
No,
but
like we both shot at the same time and shot two Super Jakes.
Well,
and-
yeah, we had some Super Jakes. They had like 5-inch beards, you know, and they came in right together. We both looked at each other like, yeah, this is going to happen. We counted to three. Boom. It sounded like one shot, and there, and both turkeys were dusted, and that was really awesome.
That's awesome. So,
what do
it.
You like for a springtime setup?
Quarter
Chef
strut
Lawton?
Jake and upright hen.
Yeah. Yeah. That you can't go wrong. Now, as time goes on, I will definitely take that fan on the back and keep lowering it, because as time goes on, they're much more leery to come in and fight, it feels like. And that's when you're starting to hunt those subdominant or less dominant toms, and you don't really want them. And some people pull the Jake on those, and they'll just run the hen.
I was just
going to
say that. And as I go on with running and gunning versus a blind, I'll take a feeder hen and an upright hen and just run with that quick and see what happens. I let the bird sometimes tell me what's going on. I've had days show up and then they get 100 yards, 80 yards out, and they don't want nothing to do it. I switch it up the next morning and they're right in the spread. And
to be fair, I only have 3 decoys, so I play decoy roulette. I'm grabbing 2. I don't know which ones I'm grabbing. I'm grabbing 2. And
they
work.
I think you're just fine, because I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Prior, if I wasn't doing that mentor hunt earlier in the year, I used no decoys. Zero.
Really?
I rarely use a decoy.
Really?
Growing up, we hunted turkeys. We never used a decoy. Never.
I have more birds
box
hang
call,
up.
That was it.
Yep. I have more birds hang up out of range than actually come in.
Yep.
See, I have a theory about hanging up birds. I think that, or at least my experience has been, that there's nothing in the world that kills turkey. The number one thing in the world that kills turkeys is patience. And even hung up birds, over time, they cannot resist. They're social creatures. I have never seen a more social animal in the woods or in the field than turkeys. And they have, their curiosity gets the better of them.
That happens with fishing too.
People really?
Are, oh, you don't catch anything for an hour and then they go home.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. It's, I think it's tougher with fishing than if you can see a bird in the field. I believe a hung up tom, I have, everyone said, oh, they hung up, and then you get frustrated and you leave the blind, you leave the situation.
Right.
You stay there. If you will outlast that bird will eventually get within the 30, 40 yards to shoot them, you know, ethically and safely. There's no doubt about it. Man, gosh, the show flies so fast and so fun to talk about. When we come back, I'm really excited to talk about our recipe of the week because we're going to talk about everyone's favorite turkey recipe.
Ooh, what, which we just found out about.
This is Raised in the Woods. This is Raised in the Woods, and this is the time to talk about food, how to take from the outdoors and put it on your dinner table. And it's turkey season around the country right now. And look, if you listen to the show and you're part of it, but you're not a turkey hunter, fantastic. Go buy a turkey from the store because these recipes definitely cross whether you get it in the wild or you purchase it at a store. All of our recipes can be done and made with anything from the store or anything from the woods. So don't be afraid to try this. I'm going to start mine out super simple with a recipe that my kids absolutely loved and that is a crowd pleaser and crowd favorite, and it couldn't be more simple. You're going to take your turkey breast, pound it out, and cut it into 1-inch cubes. Then you put a fondue pot in the middle. Now you got to be a little careful because you're going to boil some cooking oil in it, and you're going to give all the kids fondue sticks. And the fun of this recipe is coming up with all the sauces to dip it in. I love the right wing sauce, buffalo sauce, ranch, cheese. You can have 3-4 different kinds of cheeses, and then put some chunks of bread on the side, and the kids will have fun. Adults will have fun. You're frying those cubes of meat, and you don't have to worry because they get cooked really fast. They get a little glaze on the outside, and they're perfectly juicy inside, and dip them in those sauces and just have a really fun way to cook turkey. And wild turkey is absolutely delicious this way, too.
Oh, my goodness.
We're starting out. That's my turkey recipe.
Wow.
Quick and easy.
Shall I do mine next?
Chef Lawton, let's hear your turkey recipe.
Okay. I'm going to breast out my wild turkey. Then I'm going to rinse the meat. I'm going to put it in a glass baking dish. I'm going to cover it with either butter, olive oil, or tallow. I need to add some fat to it. I want to cover the outside. I'm going to do salt, pepper, maybe some fresh herbs, whatever I have in my fridge or my cupboard for herbs that I like. And then I'm going to put some whole cloves of garlic in that pan. I'm going to roast it 350 until it temps at like 155. I'm going to pull it out, let it rest. Then I'm going to take that roasted garlic clove and I'm going to mix it with some mayo. And I'm going to put some cranberry chutney or like a lingonberry jam or some sort of jam in that mayo. Okay, put that aside. I'm going to slice my turkey, put it on some sourdough bread, brie, arugula, drizzle of olive oil, some of that mayo, butter the outsides, put it in the oven, crisp that sandwich up, and that is my favorite way to eat it.
Good gracious. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's actually really easy.
Well,
why are you all laughing?
This is no joke. I'm memorized kind of right now. You just pulled that. Like, that sounded phenomenal.
You're memorized or mesmerized?
Mesmerized. Oh, here we go again.
Hypnotized.
I was trying to memorize what she was saying. Listen, as he was memorized.
Mike, the meat man, Kretschmer, we don't have you on the show because of your grammar. It's okay. Well, we have you for your other
Remember when he tried foreign language?
Yeah. Stop it. We don't have much time.
Okay. Yes, we don't. What do you
got,
Mike?
I got a very easy one. Kay. Swap out chicken tortilla soup and put your fresh turkey
delicious
into that. And I could go on and on, but
turkey
I'll let
noodle soup.
Throw some
turkey.
Cilantro in there and some fresh sweet corn from Wisconsin. Throw that on the grill, grill it, and then cut that right off into the soup. Whole nother level.
Wow. See, that's why Chef Lawton's along.
Roast the tomatoes on the grill and the onions too.
Perfect.
And some jalapenos.
Yes, please.
Megan, what do you got?
These are speed recipes, like speed dating.
I have my turkey tail Filipino adobo.
Oh, yes. Oh, Megan, what? We love that recipe. We love
it. That recipe's so good, Megan. How do you make that again?
So braised turkey tails in soy sauce, garlic, cane sugar, vinegar, till it's slow cooked, and then reduce that sauce down into a gravy and put it over rice. That's the simplest way to put it.
Phenomenal.
What kind of turkey tail? Like actual turkey or the
like turkey
mushroom?
Tail? The tail,
the
of,
tail
a turkey.
Of the turkey.
Honestly, you could probably do it with turkey tail mushrooms if you really wanted to go like vegan.
Oh yeah, you certainly could.
But actual turkey tails, like from the butt of the turkey.
Brad is looking at Megan like, what did you just say?
Have you never eaten a turkey?
No, I think
before?
He was just offended that you
I have
said
not.
Vegan.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, can we back this up? Can we? We could use duck tails too.
You could, or chicken.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
DuckTales was one of my favorite shows.
Good Lord. Brad, what do you have for your turkey recipe?
Pretty simple. It's one of our favorites and super easy. We love making turkey gyros.
What?
Yep.
Oh,
keep
my.
Talking. Keep talking, baby.
They're absolutely
Joel just
phenomenal.
Started to sweat.
You cut them into some small, thin strips, just like regular gyro meat, just like lamb is cut. And I put it in olive oil and the Greek seasoning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I marinate that for...
So you're slicing it before you cook it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then you're gonna...
slicing
keep going
to...
Keep going, Brad. I'm so excited.
Slicing it before I cook it, marinate it in olive oil and the Greek seasonings, and then I'm pan frying that, and then just doing a standard gyro. You know, yeah, tomato wedge, some onion, and some tzatziki sauce, and off you go.
Hey, Brad.
I need to hear about your tzatziki sauce. Do you make it homemade? Or
I don't.
Well, I have a quick recipe for tzatziki sauce. 50% Greek yogurt, 50% daisy sour cream, and then you're going to mince some garlic in it and fresh lemon juice.
So that'd be just a dollop of daisy?
Just a dollop of daisy. No, I think I eat more sauce than meat on my sandwiches, to be honest.
Hey, I have a question for Brad, and this is going to make Joel really uncomfortable. Do you put feta on your gyros?
No.
Look, I don't mind feta.
I do.
I do.
No.
That's why we're the best friends.
And Megan put feta on just about everything. And it's not that I don't love
feta's
it.
Feta's better.
But I just get a little feta up with it. That's
all.
Oh,
boy. Oh, boy.
I can't help it. See, if you come along on Raised in the Woods, you're going to have fun. That I guarantee. You will laugh at us, if not with us. We talk about how to enjoy the outdoors, how to make it simple and fun for you and everybody in your family, taking food and forage from the woods to the dinner table, and just having a great time. Don't be afraid to experience it. Don't be afraid to try new things. Reach out to us. Listen to us on your civic media stations on Saturdays at 11 o'clock. If you miss us, catch us on our podcast. We appreciate you having you along, and we will see you next week on Raised in the Woods.